So we want to know, when neighbors get together and have a meeting to decide certain things in the building, and there's a majority vote in favor of a certain agenda, does that mechayev obligate the dissenting view from chipping in? They have to also chip in, or can they refuse and say, we don't want to chip in? Which was nogeya to the shayla which you asked last week, where the Vada Bais, after the Pesach Din, that stated that in Yerushalayim, everyone pays Vada Bais according to the size of your apartments, relative to everyone else's apartments, not equally. And then the Vada Bais had a meeting together after the Pesach Din and voted, we want to change that minhag, that everyone pays equally. Is it tofus? Is it chal valid that now everyone has to pay equally? So let us start with a din Torah this week, which involves this shayla. A building come together, and the proposal was put forward that they would like to install on the public roofs a satellite dish.
Not for the whole building.
No, a satellite dish. And they have a vote on this, and the majority say yes. Does now the minority have to chip in to paying for this satellite dish installation? Especially when the minority say the reason why we voted against it, not only against our principles, we think it's against our halacha. So let's look at the first Maramokim. In Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuf Samuch Aleph brings down the Rambam from Hilchos Shkenim that says like this: Chotzer Hashutfin, a courtyard that belongs to a joint membership. Kol Echad Mehem, every one of that partnership, member of that partnership of the courtyard, Kokofa Eskavero, can force his friends, Lasas Bo Besha, Videlis, a door, a gateway, a privacy, Mechola Dvarim Shachotse Sricha Hem Shorach Gotel, anything which the courtyard definitely needed to have. A Dvarim Shanogu Bene Medina's Lasas. So for this Rambam,
but this has nothing to do with majority vote.
That's what I'm saying. What do we learn out from this Rambam and Shulchan Aruch in respect to a voting system of causing events to happen in a partnership called community? What does this Rambam seem to suggest and Shulchan Aruch seem to ask him? What does it seem to say?
So at this level, you don't really need a voting system. One person can force everybody.
So therefore, we're saying that we have a situation when even the minority can impose a change in the partnership to be performed, and everyone has to chip in.
When it's essential.
When it says 2 points. So, Godel, O Minag Medina Lasusam. Okay? Does the satellite dish fit into any of these categories?
Depends where it is.
Okay.
There are certain areas where that could be called Minag Medina.
We'll define what Minag Medina means. Even in the areas where everyone or all buildings seem to have it, whether that fits into the category of Minag Medina in a minute. But we see from this Rambam, there are certain scenarios where even a minority view can force a change and impose the majority to pay even though they don't want to. Let us move to another Shulchan Aruch. It's two simonim later. Simon Kuf Sama Gimel Sif Alt. There it says, Kol Sarchi Sibur. Anything which the public needs and requires. She'enon yochin lahashmos atzmon. And they're not able to come to a unanimous opinion. Yesh lahoshiv kol bale batim anosim mas. So you make a meeting of all the members who actually pay taxes in this city.
Well, this is talking about a city?
Yes, kol soch yisivu. V'kabla aleihem, and they make a statement before the vote. Shekol echod yomer zata l'shem shemayim, that everyone's going to put their opinion forward, and it's going to be l'shem shemayim. What does l'shem shemayim mean? Yomer zata l'shem shemayim.
What?
No. It means without any personal, in this particular vote, it was something, any personal interest. Something that if it's sorach l'sibul, you have to say something l'shem shemayim. And that's, if you remember, if we go back, we bought this shulchan aruch way back when we were doing the shirim of bribery, shulchat. We brought this down and said that's the reason why that shochat can't be involved even in meetings and votes which have nothing to do with Dinei Torah, but anything which is the sorach laklal and the sibor decisions need to be made. The area is making a decision. They have to make decisions for the sibor because they're representatives of the sibor. The shem shemayim. As soon as shochad,
these aren't representatives. This is actual sibor.
Seba, it's a sibor nosa, sibor shayin.
Right, but when I vote, I'm going to vote based on what I want. Not, I mean, it's going to always be personal interest, no?
No, it has to be what is best for the sibor.
Really?
Yes.
I can't vote for I want a lower tax.
If it's sorachi sibor, if it's a sorachi sibor shayin, yes. Biyach acharot. Okay, that's Agav was saying. But here he says, once you have the vote, you go after the majority. And if the minority objects, harov yochel kofa noson, the majority can force the miyit, the minority to do it. Afilu b'dinei goyim, they can even get the goyim involved to force them to do it. Lahotzi mominzer, make them pay. V'hein shrichel losei chelik, and they have to give their chelik.
What halachas is this simon doing with somebody?
This is to do with tax collections, who has to pay taxes, how much taxes, yep. How you decide which taxes, who, the tax collection system, how you decide the tax collection. You go according to your money, how rich you are, all types of things, how much benefit you got. That's the simmons percent. But what do we see from what's going to us? Here we are having a vote for the sibul, and the rogue decides. Unlike the first shulchan aruch, two simon ago, where it says the niyat can decide, here the rogue can decide. So first we have to understand what's the difference between the first halacha, where even the niyat can impose their will, and the second halacha, where we're saying only the majority can impose their will.
Well, the second halacha doesn't require a tzorach gadol or advan shnaz with the name of Dina.
But it's, what is they talking about? Sorachei sibul. Yeah, sorach sibul. Okay, so Matthew says the answer. There's a difference between something which is a minhag to do and something which is just not minhag but sarchi sibul. Okay, minhag you go after the minority. Sarchi sibul, which is no minhag, then you go after the majority. So far, we can handle with the categories.
But in either case, it's clear that a majority can force expenses.
He says, that's what the second halacha says. The majority can impose the will of the minority and force only, them even to give their chelik.
Is that only in a city?
No. Any.
So let's say the building wants to put in an elevator. They want $10,000 for me. I have to pay that $10,000.
Yes. Yes. At this stage. At this stage, Tzorchei Sibur, okay, Tzorchei Sibur, majority can impose on the minority that they have to pay. So you tell me, is it Minag? If it's Minag, even minority. If it's not Minag, but Tzorchei, the majority. What category does... what category does the satellite dish fit into? Don't know. Without definitions, clear definitions, you said that maybe even Minog it fits into. Okay. But what's really now troubling, which needs an answer, is the third Bar Mokum. Third Bar Mokum, in the same simon as Kushtam Gimel, but in Sif base, it says like this, the Ramah. Sorry, not in the same simon, in simon base, sorry. Yesh Chokim. There's opinion that holds. Visrile. The Ein Koch Biyad Tovi Ayir. Va'ola Arak Lahiach Lahiach Hasibu Masha Minach Bekotam. They cannot force. The members of the president board cannot force the public to do something, only if it's something which is established minag, which everyone, shemekibu alem medas kulam, or something everyone agreed to do. Aber ein reshayin l'shonis tov amidi de'ikar revach lahai b'seid lahai. But you can't force and change things which has monetary ramifications, beneficial for one and detrimental for somebody else. Olefkiya momen shlo medas kulam. Or to take money out of anybody unless you have a unanimous vote.
This is only about Tovier, which is representative, not the actual taxpayer.
But he's saying when you want to change something, when you want to change it, which has monetary ramifications, bad and good for any member of this particular community, then the only way to do it, unless you get a das kulam, sounds like a das rov. So yeah, it's over here. You'll say it's over here. It's not defined. But he says, if you want to do it, you need Madas Kulam. Why didn't he say Madas Ro? Like we said in the previous Kusama Gimel. Why didn't he say Kusama Madas Ro?
No, because here it's not L'shem Shemayim. Each one's expressing his own interest.
That's a special thing when you're discussing a Sibul Dosa. It's not Sibul Dosa.
No. When it says Madas Kulam, it's talking about the individual members of the Sibur. It means their own interest, not that they would be doing L'shem Shemayim, whereas in Marlon...
No, they're doing L'shem Shemayim, but it's Das Kulam. Why Das Kulam? L'shem Shemayim,
no, that's why you need Das Kulam, because it's not L'shem Shemayim.
Why? What do you mean? Why is
nobody saying it's, nobody's doing Kabbalah on themselves L'shem Shemayim.
It's a Kabbalah L'shem Shemayim. That's wrong, you should say. You should say, like, something, if you want to change it, then... which is beneficial to one and bad for the other. Same as Das Rov.
Because here Das Rov means rover of the opinion that it is good for the Tzibur.
Yes.
So you follow Rav Matos.
Yes.
Here it has nothing to do with the opinion that it's good for the Tzibur. The opinion is good for me.
Who
so
says?
What Das Kulam means.
No, but Das Kulam just means numbers.
Right, but that they want it, not that they think it's better for the Tzibur.
No, but Das Kulam means numbers, not their opinion that they're doing it personally. Doesn't mean personal. It means the Das Kulam. The number you need to get this through and have a change is a unanimous. Why unanimous? We have ability to have a rope. Why unanimous?
Well, all of these are changing. All of them are including new things.
Change versus add. There's a muksan versus the right. There's a difference with somebody which is muksan and you're changing it, versus somebody which is there's totally new and you have to make a decision one way or the other. And there's no established principle.
Aren't all of them talking about where they're adding something they didn't have before?
Maybe they, maybe there's a situation they have to choose one or other. It's not a
new situation.
Maybe the new situation requires that the new situation. The question is the new going to be A or is the new going to be B? So you don't have the present, everyone, the present's got to change.
Shmuel's saying good.
Regulation wise,
Shmuel's saying good.
The old company closed. You got to choose a new company. So you're forced to do something different. Now, what are you going to do? There's no status quo as far as where you are. This is Venus as the sun.
Nah. Shaul's saying a good point, a good skillet. We have to understand why that should make a difference over here. But let's ask the question now, and then we'll get into the answer. Question is, we have three Shulchan Aruchs, and all of them are saying completely different from each other. And we want to know where one applies and where the other one doesn't apply, where the categories fit in. One Shulchan Aruch says minority can force the majority. Another one says, as long as you've got a majority, it can force and impose the minority to give money even. And the third one says, in order to make any changes which has any mandatory ramifications to anybody, then you have to have unanimous decision. Okay? Categories of how we, when we say one or not the other, we have now to define. So, the first one is an easy category.
Well, the third one, it says he's big for my father.
But they never mentioned the Shinus Kusama Gimel Machlokes.
Oh, so.
Kusama Gimel, this is in Simon Base.
So what halacha is he commenting on that he's saying is?
That is over there. The din of Tuvia. The first opinion says they can, they have extreme power. Okay. So the shayla is when one applies to the other. When you go after minority, majority, then the unanimous. Got three options. So let's start with the first category. When do you go after the minority? The minority can opinion can impose the majority to make them pay. So everyone pointed out in the Rambam, it says, when l'sur godol, o'dvon sh'nogu ne'midin. Something which is a sur godol, and something which is no b'ne'midin. Now what category, what is no b'ne'midin mean? What does no b'nidina? If it's no b'nidina, then even the minority can impose the majority to do it. What does no b'nidina mean? Let's relate it to our vada bias situation. Give me an example within the building, something which is no b'nidina, which even the minority can enforce their opinion of majority to pay for. Something which is cleaning.
Electricity in the.
You don't. No one's cleaning here. Minority opinion had a vada bias meeting, should we clean in this building? Majority says, no, we don't want to clean. Says the pipes up Mr. Minority and he says, I want cleaning. The halacha is, since that is the standard minhag and the expectancy of the relationship of people in a building to have a cleaner to clean up the public areas, so therefore it's mukhuyib to be done. Even the majority objects. Another classic example. Tiles, floor tiles, shayish walls get broken over the period of time of use of the building. They need to be repaired. Comes along a meeting and says, look, we're not so interested in repairing it. It's very expensive layout of money. We haven't got that money to lay out. The majority say, we're not interested in paying it. We can live with the cracks and the crannies. The minority opinion can say, we moved into a building which was tip-top at the time. You accepted this is where we're going to live with this type of scenario of this type of floor which was complete and solid at the time. Cracks happens. You are mechuyev to return it to its matziv where we all received it as partners. We receive it into the partners in a good state, so that part of the partnership is to maintain what we receive. If you don't want to maintain, if you don't want to maintain what you receive, then that's connected to the original entry into the partnership. So therefore, I as a minority can say, get it back to how we entered into this partnership in the beginning.
What category does that fall into? It's not thorough. It's not thorough.
It's even more than that.
Right.
It's called a shivered shukfim ayday heskim through an agreement.
But they never agreed.
Yes, you did. When you buy a partner,
you bought. I didn't sell it to you. Somebody else.
No, you bought it together. Once again, I have to remind you, we do not live in America.
I know, but when you bought your apartment, I was living there 20
meaning
years.
Meaning what? I want to make an explanation. What that means? That means is that my problems are your problems, your problems are United States. No, there's something called in this country common areas.
You have co-ops in America too.
Yes. So therefore, when you buy your own personal apartments, coming with buying the personal apartment is that you're creating a partnership with your neighbor in the common areas. So we bought into common areas when we buy our apartments. And therefore, you have to, when you buy into a partnership of a particular property, you have to go and maintain that partnership as you bought in.
Why? There's wear and tear to be expected. And you said I obligated myself to keep it at the same madriga forever.
Because that's how you received it. This is how I bought
it
and
expected it. I know, but I received it knowing it's going to wear out.
Yeah. So if you want to avoid that, so you have to write a clause that says, even though we buy something as a partner together, and it's part of the partnership to maintain anything naturally, you want to get around that clause, you have to write the clause, and we don't have to write it.
When you said it's part of the partnership to maintain naturally,
well, outspoken,
that's Minhag HaMedina you're talking about.
More than Minhag HaMedina. It's part.
Because if it's not the Minhag, if there are places where they let things dilapidate and they don't fix it, that I should not be obligated to do that.
No, it's more than Minhag HaMedina. More than minimum extent. As, let's say an unspoken condition of the partnership agreement.
But why? You need something to compel an unspoken condition.
Okay. If you want to say the minhag is that, so it's an unspoken condition. Now it's an unspoken condition.
That would be probably what.
No, now it's an unspoken condition, so therefore you have to maintain it.
If there's such a minhag.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's two examples where the minority opinion can even force majority to lay out money. Now, the other two categories, now we have to have a problem. Once Shulchan Aruch says, once you've got the majority saying their opinion of the Shem Shemaim, whatever, if it's Siburi, if it's not Siburi, that doesn't need to be Shem Shemaim, then saying their opinion, you go after the majority, and you can enforce the minority to do it. And even if it's going to cost them money, they have to pay money. But another Shulchan Aruch says, the third one, if you want to have monetary effect on somebody else that's going to be detrimental for them or beneficial to one and detrimental to the other, then the only way to do that you have to have a unanimous decision. So when do you go after majority and when do you can't go after majority and you have to have a unanimous? What's the difference? We're not talking about Minhag HaMedina and we're not talking about Sorach Gadol, because those you even a minority can force. Here we're talking about, it's not Sorach Gadol, it's not Minhag HaMedina, and there's some category where the majority can impose their will on the minority, even for them to lay out money. And there's another which says, no, force them to pay, you need your unanimous. Which, how do you split up these two categories?
Where the majority is, it would be a win-win situation where everybody wins. But in the third case, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose.
No, but in the second case where the Shulchan Aruch is talking about going off the majority, even the Hotzi Mammon are there, even to make them pay, it's not a win-win situation. They have to.
Something that's good for everybody.
Who says it's good? They obviously hold it's not good for them. They're saying no.
We know better.
So let us explain what Shmuel said, using the Chasam Sofer. If you look at number two, the Chasam Sofer says like this. Kvar nogu, v'chol galios, halalu. The minhag is in all these, this galios, these areas. The mizel basar ruba, v'chol inyonim. To go after the majority in all matters, ke'elu, like these. Why? Because in Mintam Ad Shizgamu Kulam. Because if you want to wait until you have unanimous decisions, Lo Yigma Shum Inyan, you'll never be able to decide anything. Ve'hashchoches Aklal, and nothing will ever take place, and it will be absolute disaster for the civil. So what we learn out from here, 2 points from the Chassid. First, he says, Me'ika hadin, without minhag. Me'ika hadin, the halach is, once it's monetary, beneficial to one and detrimental for the other, it's detrimental, Do you need to pay money? Then the halacha is, what do you do? What's the halacha? You need your namnus opinion. Because as soon as you're making him pay, you can only do it your namnusi, me'ikatim. But says the Chasam Sofer, minag, kranogu b'dolyus. There's a minag that we don't go after unanimous, in, even if it means him paying. We can force him to pay, even if he doesn't agree, as long as you've got a majority. In matters like these, where lo yikma shu'im v'yeshchot v'saklav, what matters? That if you don't do it, and you acquire unanimous, then it's going to not be able to decide anything, and it'll be result. Yeah, hashkochas haklal. It'd be actually devastating for the sibyl to acquire unanimous, because nothing will happen.
So what's he saying? What did they do for the first 3,000 years?
Okay. But what's he saying? When does the robe work to go connected? The halacha of, so to speak, unanimous robe is a minhag that can do it, but only when hashkochas haklal. Now, it'd be devastating for the civil, nothing will ever decide. Now, what fits into the categories of hashkochas haklal? What fits into categories of hashkochas haklal?
Oh, he's not saying that it's specifically the things that are hashkochas haklal. He's saying that's why we have to go bas harov in general, because in general, if you need
therefore, number one condition to even contemplate going after majority, it has to be that it has to be hashkochas haklal. And if you don't go after the majority,
that's not what he's saying.
Has to be hashkochas haklal. Now, what is called hashkochas haklal? What type of matters is called hashkochas haklal?
Not having a dish is hashkochas haklal for some people.
Yeah. Hashkochas haklal? What's the word klal mean?
Sibur.
Sibur. Not having a satellite dish on the roof is of the building is called hashkochas haklal sibur. What does hashkochas haklal? What's the word hashkochas? Can we interpret it and say it in English now? What's the word hashkochas? Instead of the word devastating?
Destruction.
Chaos.
Ah, disabling, not functional. The klal won't be able to function. So it has to be a matter which will make the klal not be able to function properly. Won't be able to fill up to any of it, be able to make any decisions which will create non-functional sibul.
I know people that can't function without watching the Super Bowl.
Okay. It's not the cloud, it's talking about the office. So therefore, can you give me examples of this in the Vada bias shtenim issues where it could fit into the concept of hashkochas haklal?
Fixing serious damage to the building. This burst pipe.
Okay. But burst pipe is even minority. I want a category which is not minnah, not mukhuyev, where the minority can't force you, but still it's a type of thing, if you don't go after the majority, it will be hashkochas haklal. It's not a minnah, it's not a contractual thing that you have to do, because even the minority can do it then. It's not the serfodal, right, that even the minority can do it. So what? It's none of these three, but it's hashkochas haklal. The function of the sibyl won't be able to function properly. What is it?
Safety things like smoke
rooms, okay, but you're getting good. Safety issues.
Well, that should be sort of not all safety issues.
No. I'll give you an example of a certain safety issue. Yeah? Maybe not fire, maybe that's caused more than safety issues. Maybe that's minag or kiyiv, sorokozu. Okay? Example of maybe a safety issue which maybe has costs a lot. In the area, there's lots of robberies. Good neighbors. And the building are making a meeting together and say, look, Building 12 has had robberies. Building 14 has had the robberies. We're building number 10. Hey, we have to preempt the problem. We can't wait until it comes to us. We see it heading towards us. So what do we want to do? We want to install in our building electric door, has its own code, in order that security is upgraded in the building. Not that any member can, any person can't walk into the building. It has to be somebody who knows the code to be able to enter the building. Yeah, to upgrade our security because of the situation around us. Now, no minag in the chlal, the streets of them having this store. No other building has it. Well, that's why there's robberies. Yeah, and some parts of the original construction of the building, the Kablan never supplied it, that you say, well, you have to maintain it. They never had it in the first place. So, therefore, that is a category which doesn't fit into minority forcing their view.
That would be called Sorath Godel.
But that would necessarily be called Sorath Godel. No? Therefore, is their opinion over here. Majority and a minority that have a disagreement whether we're going to invest in such a system, where they need to take a vote. If you acquire unanimous votes, then what's going to happen? What's the obvious result of such a requirement of a unanimous vote under those circumstances? Yes, some of us, it never happened. Even although it can have terrible ramifications to the civil, that if it doesn't happen. So it's a nosa, it's a topic which is possible to have Hashkochas HaKlal on.
How is that called Hashkochas HaKlal? Can it get broken into Hashkochas?
What's it mean? The civil won't be able to function because they'll never be able to protect the civil. We as a civil are in danger together, not you more than me. Let's fine-tune this. Why did the guy vote against it?
Because he lives on the top floor, he's got nothing to worry about.
He lives on the bottom floor and he votes against it, so then he won't be able to vote against it. It doesn't make a difference where you live. Yeah.
Well, you have nothing worth feeling.
Or no, let's think. All democratic, everybody has their own minds, they can look at situations differently. What does he believe when he hears the meeting and he says, well, this is what we need to do, everyone together, we have to prevent the danger coming to us. What does he think when he's doing all this? You're playing, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. What are you talking about? One or two robberies already going into the grave. They have to invest all this money. You think this is the Surah? I think it's not a Surah. Yeah, that's the best L'Shem Shemayim situation. Okay. I personally think that's not necessary for Ishtanis to do this. Yeah, we have these people. Yeah. You have your communists, you have your conservatives, you have all these others. They have their head shifters, which they've grown up through the environment that engraves on them certain things. Okay? So therefore, he doesn't think it's Zorach HaKam. So he thinks that even if he's right, that even if it's not done, there's not going to be any Hashkosos HaKlal, because it's not necessary. So how have I defined this category? He thinks it's not Hashkosos HaKlal, you think it is Hashkosos HaKlal, because you think it's the Zorach HaKam, you think it's that. It's a mountain of the Mohel. So, therefore, how are we going to define this category? That's good for the Machlokas in the Vada Pius. That's why he's voting against it, because he thinks it's not necessary. So why can the majority enforce opinion? He'll say, you can only enforce opinion if it's necessary. And I hold it's not necessary.
That's the debate for this one. It's necessary.
We also have our personal negias from where we come from. I mean,
any basin in any case is going to be like that. But the basin is supposed to decide what's called for a brother, what's called for any subjective term.
No, I want a better answer than turning to basin. Every time you have to go to basin, once you have a majority vote, you're going to say, you're telling me, when you have a majority vote and you want to know whether this imposes a minority, you have to go to the basin. Yeah. You're with. we'll give you a monthly pass to Zagreb. Yeah? From Dyson. Yeah? Cheaper rates.
No,
that's
I think
true.
That's what the Chacham Zov is addressing. He's not addressing whether you call it a cost of the qualities or having to go to a station every time is going to lead to a cost of
the qualities. Correct. Right. So you just ask the question yourself. So when do you go after the majority?
All the time.
No, because when it's a minhag, you don't need majority. When it's all minhag, you need a unanimous decision. So when's the majority? When it's Hashem's Chacham. But that's good for the machlokas. Every vote of rov, a minority, is the machlokas, whether this is Hashem's Chacham.
Chacham Sofer is saying these are no longer relevant.
No, Chassid Sholem. He's coming to explain. He's coming to explain the rov when you go after the rov. What do you mean the claim is Hashem's Chacham? Very good, okay, we need a bit of Tosefis on that. Anyone else wants to be Tosefis on that? You can. Eric, you want to... Yeah, exactly. You can say everything is Hashem's Chacham, and yeah, he can say everything is not Hashem's Chacham because he's a minority. Okay. So, the Dayanim give a getter to this like this. Anything which you can hear could be a possibility of being a Hashchos and Saklal, then the majority of votes will have the power to enforce their opinion. A topic which you can hear could be into the category of Hashchos and Saklal. It could be in the Tzorach Sivu Gadol. Anything which could enter into that topic, then Rove can have the opinion. So therefore, what are we basically saying? Rove can overpower the minority on something which could be a Tzorach Gadol for the Sibyl. If it's Tzorach Gadol for the Sibyl, then even minority can cross it. But something which could be a Tzorach Gadol, it could be a topic which could be a Tzorach Gadol, then we go after the Rove, otherwise, as the Chassam Sofer says, then nothing will ever get done. Even things which are Tzorach Gadol will never get done because the minority...
You haven't really accomplished anything because it becomes the arbiter of what could be a Tzorach Gadol.
Okay, so my example of the Genevas is definitely a category which could be a Tzorach Gadol.
That's what you say. No? I say...
No, you agree. You say it could be, but I disagree. No, that I hold it's not
I
over here.
I'm someone that says it can't.
No, the topic, the notes, as Shmuel says, the actual topic of discussion... The topic of discussion, if you're right, it's definitely Hashchos and Saklal. If I'm right, I'm just saying, yeah, it's applicable over it. But the actual topic of discussion is the topic of Hashchos and Saklal. We want to know what we're going to do. It could be Hashchos and Saklal.
So if the majority of the building says, you know, they've been breaking into buildings in Ashdod, we think that Hashchos and Saklal here in Mapei Shemesh, that do we have to go by majority there?
No, not necessary. No.
Why?
Because then it's like saying in Simbatsu there's Geneva.
Exactly. So, but that's what you're saying. So now it becomes a matter of how close do you have to be? Maybe not us though.
No, everyone has to, as you say, everyone has to do the same Shammai. So it says everyone realizes that if there's problems in Ashdod, that it's not necessarily going to have any bearings over here, and we just want to put in the system. Not to because of there's an actual Geneva issue over
but
here.
But I'm saying, I think just not Ashdod is not, I think Ashdod is a problem. Well, I think the block
no, you're not. You're not. You're not. Eric's telling me. Don't say that.
We're all going to die in dehydration.
I'm not saying that you're right, you're wrong with that. If there's maybe having a vote on the sprinkle system in the common areas is something which a rogue can decide, correct? Yeah. So we say, in the defining thing, we're saying, Me'ikadin, you have to go after your namnus, or Me'ikadin, you go after just the minority. When it's something which a mukhrif to do, a minab to do, and it's part of a contract, you go after the minority. When it's not, you have to go to your namnus because it's going to affect his pocket. How is a minab to say you can go after the rove even if it's affecting his pocket? That's when it could be the topic of Sorach Godel, it could have been to the Hashkosos of God. Once it could be a Nosa like that. Okay. So now let's analyze with this definitions. Our Shilas. Let's go to the Shilas of last week. The Vadabai gathered together. They got the Psak in that says, we in Yerushalayim have to pay Vadabai according to the size of our apartments. That means you are half the size, you pay half the Vadabais. Okay? So we make a Vadabais meeting, and in the meeting we decide, majority vote, that we're going to collect Vadabais according equally. We're going to change. Minority disagree. Okay. Is that a discussion where the majority has the power to impose their will on the minority or not?
No, this is a different case, because we're not determining whether they can force or not. We're determining how much they can.
That's force. Up to now, you've been paying half of the Vadabais. I want to force you to pay the whole Vadabais, taking money out of your pocket with this decision in Vadabais. Now we're changing the situation, and everyone's going to pay equally, like they do in the neighborhood.
No, Sarach Kabbalah is going to say everybody has to pay equally, because that's not being mishtate. How much they mishtate, that is not a
change. Yeah, we've got a system, and we want to change that system. So I want to know what.
But does the changing the system is not a Sarach Kabbalah.
So what you're holding, what you're saying. So what are you saying? Does the majority impose their will on the minority in such case? Can they change the system? No!
They had an existing minhag, which was minhag.
Yes.
Yes.
So therefore, there's no shaita. It's not even a topic of Hashos HaKal. Hashos HaKal is, look, if we do nothing, nothing gets happened. Also another classic example, nothing gets happened. Yeah? If we don't do anything over here, just carry on paying Vadabais, and the building will run and function perfectly well, like it has been for the last 10 years. Yeah? And there's no Hashkos, no say over here, of, we're not going to have Vadabais at all unless we make a vote. That if we're new building, no minhagim, no contract, and we have to now set up a system, and we have to choose a system, and there, we can't go after unanimous, because then no system will ever be chosen, no Vadabais will be chosen, we can't do it at all. Then I understand you could go after Rove to decide what the system is in the first place. But you've got a really functioning system. You just want to change it. It's not going to affect, if you don't change it, anything that's going to happen. So there, for sure, you need the unanimous, and therefore their Vadabais meeting decision wasn't valid. Now let's go to the satellite dishes. Satellite dish, do we say over there, you go after the majority which want to put up the satellite dish on the building, or and force the minority to pay, or not? Does the minority have to pay for the satellite dish installation on top of the building? Which category does it fit in? Okay, let's tackle both examples. Let's say you live in the area where there's no minhag. Let's start with that.
So no.
No, you can't enforce, yeah? You've got anyone say different from that? So it's obvious, you can't enforce, yeah? Let's say we live in a place where there's a minhag. This is the area. This is a particular area where all the buildings have their satellite dishes. The majority have them. And now this building wants to put up. Can the majority decision over there enforce the opinion on the minority to pay?
So that would depend on whether it really is Keneged Halakha.
Speak out.
If it's Keneged Halakha, then a satellite dish, not only you can't force me to do it, I can force you not to do it.
How do you know?
Because it's Keneged Halakha, Mokhev Tobiya.
No, but how do you know that's true in Dini Momnus? Naughty boy, but I can't do anything. I can't take you to Beis Din and stop you. Are you saying I can take you to Beis Din and actually stop you doing it?
I don't need Beis Din. I can go rip it down.
Okay.
I can burn books that you have that are not appropriate.
That is your personal Ovid Inis Dina D'Nafshe, Shaila. I'm talking about a situation. We have a vote in the Vada Bais. Majority want to put up the satellite dish. Minority not. And the majority are saying, look, okay, we can't force you, or maybe we can, Minag. We want you to, it's a Minag, and it's even majority. It's Minag and it's majority. So therefore, we want you to do it. I'm sure you can't stop us. Yeah. And the guy says, okay, well, are you prepared to listen to Das Torah? Whether the majority listens or works over here or not. Yeah. Okay. Are you prepared or not? So they now go and ask the Shaila. Is the majority opinion forces the minority to get involved or not?
Say that again.
Yes. The Rav can answer. The Rav, if it's just a chichiyah tichiyah Shaila, the Rav will just answer, it's naughty, you shouldn't do it. Can I say that? You can, monetary wise, I can be imposed on you that you're not allowed to do it. I can't do that. I haven't got the power to do that. I'm not the God Zohar Zohar to force you to do things over here. I'm just telling you a Rav's opinion that it's also to do. Yeah? Like it's also the boss of the Cholos. I can't go now into your house and steal the bosser and steal
yes,
the Cholos.
No. I'm a chuyuv to it. I'm not going to have repercussions.
As a psak din, I can't give it. Maybe as a person or a voter.
As an individual, I'm a chuyuv to take it from you if I'm not going to suffer repercussions. As a
psak din, I can't do it. I can do it.
I said if I'm not going to suffer repercussions. I understand.
But isn't this a case of matki the rabbi?
Well, let's put it even if I say the rab himself has a satellite dish on his own house.
Well,
yeah. And he says over here, it's awesome to do, and I know I've got it, it's also one of my Yetzirahs, okay? It's one of my Yetzirahs, it's awesome to do. Now you're asking me, Dini Momenus, can I force you as a Psa Din? You can't put that there. That's the silence.
You're not, I'm assuming it's not there. I didn't say it's not there.
Yeah, but if you according to Akladin, there's scenarios where rogue can impose their will on the minority so much so that they even have to pay. So I want to know, does it fit into that category or not? So let me read out the first Shulchanach again. Chotzer Hashukim. Kol Echot Mehem Kofin Es Chaver. Everybody can force his friends. Lasas Lo Beisha. What's a Beisha?
He said it was privacy kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. Now, the Gemara in Baba Basra at the end, it says, can you put a door onto this Beisha? A door with a lock? Because if you put a door on the lock of the chot of the courtyard, then none of the aniyim will ever to be enter, and it's also to do. The Gemara then says further, and what happens if it's a minag or majority decision which says we want to put up a lock on the door? Do you then put up a lock on the door? What does the Gemara say, Bob Russell? It's a. It says it's a minag keneged halacha, and a minag keneged halacha you're not allowed to do, and the minority can force you to take down the lock. So therefore, we actually have a riot to what Matthew says, but we've got a riot from the Gemara in Ashayda, not Stama Huchiyah Tichiyah, from the Gemara itself in Hilchos Shleinim that says whenever the majority, or even minag, wants to do something which is halacha considers also, then that's also a situation where the minority can impose its view and force the majority not to do that.
But does that mean that all these security buildings are connected halacha?
Because you're asking nowadays, what about things? Well, that's a shiny web it flies. If they've got the buzzer system, maybe that gets around it. Yeah. What? Yeah, okay. So it's something that has to be kicked out to consider their law.
Okay. Look, you get the share from the Rebbe.
Okay, so we discussed.
There are a lot of satellite dishes and also, you can tell, they're all spine.
Well, kosher satellite dishes, you say. Okay, like they had kosher food, they had kosher satellite dishes, right? Okay, Mitzvah Shem next week. We'll continue. Because the. We'll continue with the Shaila of Vada Bias. And I'll just introduce the Shaila this week and you can think about it. There's a big discussion in the building whether they should install a garden into a parking lot. So they have a meeting together and they make a Vadabai's meeting, put up signs, and no one turns up to the meeting. Okay. So, what they do is that Reuven's very interested in his garden working. So Reuven starts phoning up his friends, the neighbors, and says, look, are you interested? Why did you come to the meeting? No, I'm interested, but I would like to, what do you want? You want the garden? It sounds good, the garden, yeah. So come to the meeting. I've got no time for Vadabai's meetings. Yeah. So she says, okay, so have in writing that you want to have the garden. Okay. And he goes around all the shtadim and he either gets them a writing or he says, can I contact you on the phone at the time of the vote? And now they arrange and they have put up the sign. And and the Vadabai's meeting is held 8 o'clock at night in apartment 10 in the building, and two people turn up. Reuven, who wants the garden, and Shimon. So they have a vote. Firstly, the shaila is, what's the, is there a point in having a vote under those circumstances? There's 14 members of the building and only two turn up. That's the first shaila. Okay. They have the vote. What's the vote turn out? Reuven wants the garden and Shimon doesn't want the garden. So what does Reuven do? He says, well, I know Levi, Yehuda, and Zacharias also want the garden. Here's the pieces of paper. Yeah, they want the garden. Let us phone up the other members. And they phone up and says, look, we talked about the garden. You want it? Yeah, I want the garden. So now, after taking all that into account, you have 13 members of the building wanting the garden, and one member doesn't want the garden. What's the halakh under those circumstances? Does the garden get installed or does not get installed? We'll analyze it next week.
Okay.